CliffCentral.com.
All right, it is time for us to pay attention because speaking of no shame, there's some people in South Africa who just they don't know how to behave, and this is not I'm not judging. A lot of us aren't sure about each other's cultural preferences, socially acceptable behavior, body language, the kinds of words we use, the way we look each other in the eye or we don't. All of this stuff is massively important, and Courtney Carey has started the South African School of Etiquette. In fact, it's been going for a while now, and she has helped us to figure out a few of these things, and she said she'd come in this morning. I mean, it's very nice of her. She didn't have to wake up so early. Right, Courtney? You decided you'd come and share this with us because if we can learn, then anyone else can. If an ape like me can learn, then the rest of humanity has a chance.
Exactly.
All right. So, first of all, I said earlier that etiquette's the fine art of getting along with people.
Right.
Is that what it is? So, it's not what everyone thinks it is. They think, oh, this is some strange ritualistic behavior that happened in 17th century France and not since.
Right. So, a lot of people do think it's teacups, knives and forks and sitting up straight.
Yeah.
But really, it's how we get along with people.
Okay.
And human beings are incredibly social. In fact, we're communal beings. And one of our deepest needs is the need to feel accepted or part of a group.
Right.
So every single day when we're conducting ourselves, we're constantly looking for validation and acceptance from people. And if we feel like we don't know how to respond or behave appropriately, we often register rejection.
Which is not good, because then you feel isolated. You can't necessarily do business with that person. You certainly can't get on with them socially.
Correct.
They make you feel excluded.
Right. Something that's quite interesting is that rejection registers in the brain in the same place that we register physical pain.
Hmm.
Oh. So to the brain, it can't tell the difference between rejection or pain.
Hmm. That's why it feels so horrible to be rejected.
Right, and why you can remember it for years.
Yeah.
It's a mental scar.
That's true. I mean, if you think about the one or two times that you were most recently rejected, and it does, it feels pretty awful, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so in other words, these rules, these social
guidelines,
constructs, guidelines, whatever you want to call them, they're actually there to help us not feel like we're left out, that we're alone, that we've been singled out, that kind of thing.
Right. You know, the main thing is that if people like you, they will help you.
Mm-hmm.
They will support you. They will go the extra mile for you. They will hire you.
Yeah.
It all comes down to how we get along with people.
If people
and how
don't
we relate
like you, you don't have a very good chance of holding on to that job.
Not at all.
And if you make yourself unlikable, it gets worse.
Right. Now, a lot of people get it wrong. They believe that everyday business conduct is about getting the task done. But actually, before task must always be relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is culturally, this does go according to your culture though. So if you go to a place like Germany, there it's task orientated. Don't take time to make friends, just
right.
Get the job done. Whereas in South Africa and Africa at large, it's relationships.
Right. Okay, so why did you develop an interest in etiquette? Where did this come from?
So my family used to own a boutique hotel.
Okay.
And what we noticed is that when people came into this establishment and they felt uncomfortable or inadequate, one of two things happened. First thing, people would come in, freeze, panic,
mm-hmm.
sit in the closest chair in the darkest corner, and there they would sit the whole night, frozen to the chair, not saying a word.
Okay.
The other thing that happened is that the guests would become quite obnoxious, quite rude with the staff.
Yeah.
They'd nitpick. And what we saw there was this fight-fright mechanism coming out of people because they didn't feel adequate, because they didn't know how to behave. So it was actually at the suggestion of my mother who said, let's start an etiquette school.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, you know, etiquette, I did etiquette classes at school. They sound old school. They sound fuddy-duddy, whatever it is. But I actually went on and I looked up what it meant. And it was that fine art of getting along with people. Mm-hmm. And it was also the correct behavior for an environment.
I mean, we learn so much at school. And even if you do go to university, you learn a lot about the subject matter.
Correct.
But it doesn't teach you. There are a couple of massive gaps in education. The one is like how you manage your money. The other one is how you manage relationships and how you deal with other people. And learning these things will help you to get ahead. If you can eat properly at a big dinner with a whole lot of other people, it's not about showing off that you know things about how knives and forks work that other people don't. It's about making everyone else comfortable by not doing something crazy.
That's it.
Right?
Well, 85% of your financial success, so how much money you make in life, is dependent on your ability to get along with people. 15% is due to your technical skill, which you've spent...
Wow, 85%.
85%. If people like you, if you get along with people, you get ahead. There's many people that have the same qualifications as you. But what sets you apart is whether people like you and get along with you.
Why do so many people struggle with that?
In my personal opinion, it is the fear of rejection. We all have extremely, or many of us have extremely brittle self-esteems.
Mm.
And it is that fear of rejection. So as a result, we're constantly questioning ourselves, are we comfortable in the situation? Are we doing the right thing? And by questioning yourself, you actually lose focus on the job at hand.
All right. In South Africa, we have a number of different ways to greet people, for example.
Right.
Do you cover all of this in your courses?
So the first thing that I state up front is that it's the correct behavior for the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that means whenever the environment changes, the correct behavior changes. It would be, or it is necessary for all of us to be aware of the pertinent cultural differences in our country.
Right. We've got a huge amount of diversity. Some people you don't touch. Some people are very touchy-feely. Some people are all about looking in the eyes. Some people are not.
Right.
Some people are about handshakes. Other people are not.
Yes. So at the very start of our trainings, we state this and we say, right, we're going to give you a whole lot of skills.
Mm-hmm.
But remember that these will always adjust according to your environment and the people you're with. But when in doubt, follow the host's lead.
Okay.
So I often find that's a big help for a lot of people. If you don't know what you're doing, look towards the host and do what they're doing. And that will certainly help.
All right. Is there a difference between the way that we behave in a business environment and the way that we behave around people who are our social acquaintances and friends?
Absolutely.
All right. What are the major differences?
Well, within business, there's a degree of professionalism. So how we greet people,
mm-hmm.
there's got to be more formality to it. There's got to be, or generally we say every meeting should start and end with a handshake. When you introduce people, in the business world, there's hierarchy. So actually, the person who holds the highest rank should have their name mentioned first.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose the way that you enter a room, you have to announce your presence. People you know already or a casual setting, you can create a far more casual, convivial environment. But when it's a professional setting, there's a standard that you have to set.
And this is about being taken seriously. Like this is not just, gracious behavior. This is actually about people taking you seriously. They appreciate your skill. They appreciate your talent. They appreciate your position. The job that you do, the value that you can bring.
Right.
But unless you are willing to behave a certain way, they don't know how to appreciate that stuff.
Correct. You know, how you conduct yourself sends a message to people that says, I know what I'm doing, I'm confident, I'm comfortable, I'm successful.
Mm-hmm.
People that are unsure, even if they know what they're doing in their job, if you appear unsure, people don't want to buy into you or your product or your service.
What about body language?
Incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
55% of how you communicate is through your body.
7%, not through what you say.
7% is through words.
Wow. I put such an emphasis on the words. I'm obviously not paying attention.
Right. I always say it's a secret, secret language. If you just take the time to focus on people's bodies...
Yeah.
You will see so much more of what's going on.
Sia has tons of questions for you. He says that he already knows many of these rules of etiquette and
how to so play. Modestly, yes.
Right. So, and Sia's a very well-mannered guy, and he seems to be able to get along with many people. So maybe he does.
How much do we actually, like now, in this day and age, are people still as hung up and judge you for you used, oh my goodness, the dessert fork instead of, you know, the salad fork or whatever the case is? Because I want to get to that level where I do judge people.
That's all Sia wants. He wants to be Sia's a snob.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what? You actually, it's unfortunate, but we're losing that degree of formality at some restaurants. So if you go to a fine dining restaurant, sometimes they'll just give you a whole mix of cutlery and say, mm-hmm. use what you want. But you know what? It's not about saying, oh, that person's doing it right or that person's doing it wrong. It's about if you are sat at a table where you see 12 pieces of cutlery, you don't feel intimidated, you don't feel uncomfortable, you know exactly what you're doing with the table, so that the focus is either on the business or the social aspect at hand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about rising yourself above other people so you can feel in a position of power, but rather make yourself feel comfortable so that you can make the people around you feel comfortable.
Okay. And then, for example,
in other words, see, it's not about being superior.
Kind of to me.
And you were going to say I interrupted you, so.
Dress code in different social settings. If there's a theme to a dinner party, is the rule rather overdress than underdress always accurate?
So, something I do need to admit is that South Africans don't understand dress codes.
Yes.
That's we exactly don't understand. Right. If somebody
I
says,
saw a guy in khaki shorts at a wedding the other day.
Yeah, it happens a lot. If somebody says smart or formal, men are in suits and women are in little black numbers or floor-length dresses.
What's smart casual?
Smart casual. So the first word smart is the main word. So 70% smart, 30% casual. So for a guy, it would be mismatched top and bottom. So you could have trousers that don't match your jacket, but you're still in a jacket.
Okay.
You could be in a full suit without a tie.
Mm-hmm.
That's smart casual. Oh. So dress smart and then add something casual or remove something that adds a degree of casualness to it.
Okay.
Is it ever acceptable to take your shoes off at a wedding, for example? You know, like it's a long day, you want to dance, you're sitting at reception.
I mean, I think so.
There we go. Okay. Those are my basics. But, that's all I need.
Follow the
cover.
Host, yeah? When in doubt, follow the host on this one.
Well,
one tip that I do have, I mean, because this is predominantly for women who take their shoes off, always invest in a pair of smart wedges, black or nude. You can't go wrong. Because then you can be in the grass, you can dance a lot. It's a lot easier.
Okay, and you take those in your bag to the wedding?
No, you wear them.
Oh, you wear them the whole way?
Right.
All right, I got you. I don't know. What do I know about wedges? What are wedges?
I
thought those are like pieces you cut out of a wheel of cheese.
No.
You never cut a wedge from a wheel of cheese.
A wedge heel is often like a cork heel.
Oh, right. Okay. There we go. All right, very good. Do you think that a lot of these things are, as Sia indicated earlier, do you think a lot of them are kind of outdated? And what stuff can we throw away? When you look at the etiquette of perhaps the late 1800s or the early 1900s, there is stuff that we've left behind.
There's a lot that we've left behind.
It's just not relevant anymore, right?
Right. And that's the thing, is etiquette's not about harboring or hanging on to old, outdated traditions. It's meant to help you with current situations. Current society. So with regards to, say, small talk, the topics have been the same for the last 50 years. They're the same tried and tested topics. They're not hugely original. However, what's really nice is that we are seeing conversations about apps coming out, blogs coming out, who do you follow on YouTube?
Yeah.
So there is that update.
You can always have those conversations, because that's awkward for people, is to break the ice, to kind of start a conversation with someone.
Right.
Are we still sticking to the rules of you never bring up politics, sex, religion, and what's the other one? At a dinner party or small talk?
So those are the three controversial ones.
Okay.
But there's a few. You don't bring up your
90%
health.
Of my conversation. God. You don't bring up ill health.
Ill health.
Yeah, please, can we reiterate that? Because
what do you mean?
Well, when you meet someone and you say, how are you? You're not really looking for a medical report.
Right.
Oh. And they say to you, oh, well, my ankle was sore and yesterday I didn't sleep so well and I've got this really bad verruca on my inner sole of my
you
foot.
You asked how I was and so now I'm going to tell you about the new mold that I've discovered.
I don't really, I'm not asking you how you are because I care about your health report. I'm interested in you just being fine to talk to me and you're not going to throw up all over me.
Right, so the thing to know is that small talk is with people you don't know well.
Yeah.
It's not with your friends. So, you know, with your friends, you are going to get into the meaty, juicy topics. But small talk, you don't want to start an argument with someone or you don't want to talk about negative topics. Mm. Because when people think back to having a conversation with you, they're going to think, what a negative human being. They've just sucked the energy out.
Mm-hmm.
So you try to keep those first meetings, those first conversations positive about things that you're both interested
in. And that everyone can relate to. So you don't get stuck in a situation where you make someone feel that they don't know anything. Because that's awful. Because then they go, well, I don't want to talk about politics because I don't know anything about politics. I stay away from that. Or religion or sex or even something more mundane like the economy. Keep it accessible.
Well, that's it. A lot of people, if you're in a group with individuals from the same industry, they tend to go into business talk or business jargon. And that's actually bad manners because you isolate the people that are not part of that.
Mm.
So my fiance is in property.
Mm-hmm.
And property is the talk of the day with every single person he meets. And every now and then I just have to remind him, hey, there's other people in the room. Let's keep the topics where everyone can get involved.
Just one last thing. I mean, it's quite nice that some traditions survive. I, for example, make an effort whenever I get gifts or whenever anyone does anything really nice to actually write them a letter.
Right.
And some people don't know how to do that.
Like a thank you note?
Yeah, an actual handwritten letter because it really does mean a lot. If you send someone an email, that's all good and well, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
It makes a massive difference. People remember that. They put the letter somewhere. They keep it for like 10 years or whatever. And delete the email. You don't keep that.
Yeah. A lot of people remark on that. Handwritten letters are extremely well received.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So
we're thinking
it might be worth putting together a whole bunch of these etiquette tips and basically put together a series of podcasts on how people can improve their social and business goings on. I think it would be a good idea, don't you?
I have an endless fountain of useful information that I wish I had known earlier on in life.
Yeah, all of us could benefit from this. And you might think, oh, well, this doesn't apply to me because, you know, I was raised by X, Y, and Z. That's not true. There's lots that you could be missing. And in fact, depending on how either you're too sure of yourself, then you do need some etiquette lessons, or if you're completely unsure of yourself, those are the people who need it the most.
Right. And, you know, I always say if you want to work less and earn more, look into this stuff because this is the hard skills. A lot of people think soft skills are soft and useless. They are hard skills you use every single day of your life.
Well, Courtney, thank you for coming to see us.
You're welcome.
Marvelous. CliffCentral.com